Thy soul, thy suit prepare. Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself hath bid thee pray, and he will not say thee nay. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such. None can ever ask too much. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, in the precious, the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we approach the throne of the heavenly grace, for we are thy people. We are thy people not by the resolutions of our hearts, nor by the determinations of our votes, but we are thy people because thy Spirit has been pleased to seek us out and lay the claims of the Lord Jesus on our hearts. He has given us a new birth and led us to repentance and faith and a walk in holiness. And it's entirely by grace this morning that we incline our hearts, that we raise our voices today. And we thank thee, our God, for all that thou hast done. For certainly we have no claim upon thee except that which thou hast put in our hands, which thou hast given to us. We would confess our sin. We would rejoice in all the provision which our Savior has given us. And now we ask thee to bless us. Bless us, gracious God, according to thine own plans and purposes. Only above all things give us the consciousness that we are thine and thou art ours, and nothing can separate us from thee. We ask thee, our Father, to bless us in our home. We pray for our little ones. And we ask thee, as they face the things of this life, the temptations and allurements, the advice of ungodly men, we beseech thee to turn their hearts to Jesus. Include them, we pray thee, among the children of thy covenant, and grant that the vows which we made when our babies were baptized may come to fruition not in the efforts of their parents, but in the work of thy Spirit. We pray, our God, for our welfare in this time of unrest and turmoil. Grant, we beseech thee, that we shall never allow anything to come ahead of the honor of Christ. Make very conscious, we pray thee, to our hearts the idea that we belong to the great strain of apostles and martyrs who were willing to perpetuate the gospel at the risk and at the cost of their lives. Make us part and parcel, we pray thee, of the great missionary movement that causes young men and women to give their lives to Jesus in far-off places where the praise of man is never heard, and where so many times their health is broken in their attempts to bring glory to thy dear Son. And as we think about the problems of our congregation, we pray thee, gracious God, continue the prosperity that thou hast given us, and let the blessing of the past few years be continued, that we may establish here a testimony to thy goodness, that salvation is of God, that Jesus is altogether sufficient. We're thinking about the tasks of this year, our plans to build a sanctuary, our efforts to get someone to help in the ministry here, our efforts to find a suitable object for our missionary giving. We pray, gracious God, that Thy Spirit may guide and direct in such a fashion that Jesus will be honored in everything that we do. We may rejoice in His goodness. We pray for our congregation, our God. We pray for this city. We pray that wicked men may be put to naught, that the devices and schemes by which they would inflict their bad ideas on their fellow men may be resisted by Thy people. We thank Thee for those who've raised their voices in opposition to the things that are being suggested today. Grant, gracious God, that Thy people everywhere may see the iniquity of those concepts that are destroying our country. We pray, our God, for the President of the United States and for the members of Congress, the members of the Supreme Court, and there's little that we read that makes us think, gracious God, that they have any idea at all that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so we ask they to turn their hearts first to acknowledge that Christ is the King of the whole earth, that only in His Word is there any wisdom that will bring peace. Only in the Bible is there any way we can find harmony. We pray, our God, for those who claim to be Christians but continue to worship with those denominations that would seem to us to deny Christ. Oh God, we need a revival so much. We pray Thee to send a great refreshing upon us. We ask Thee, our Father, to move in such a fashion that Thy people may be stirred to resist modernism in all of its insidious ways, that they may turn their hearts and minds away from the things that please men, to seek the honor and glory of Thy great name. Hear our prayer now, deal with us in Thy rich and great mercy. Keep us always in Thy love, for we ask it in the name of Jesus, Thy Son, our Lord. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thine alms, do not let thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye therefore not like unto them, For you have the Father, nor he have need. But think after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. May God, the Spirit of God, bless to each one of us this portion of his own holy word. Execute thine office of a prophet, we pray thee, Lord Jesus, in revealing to us by thy word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. Amen. From the 6th chapter of Matthew, the 1st verse. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. In the original, according to the oldest manuscripts, it reads this way. Take heed that ye do not your righteousness before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Obviously, the word righteousness is used to cover three spiritual exercises which are required in God's work: the giving of alms, praying, and fasting. It's not for me to say how fasting is to be done. May I give my personal testimony that times of great refreshing have come when I have simply put away food for a while. I don't mean between breakfast and lunch. I don't mean doing without lunch. I do that nearly every day. But when for a time that I can spend by myself, having no distractions as far as possible from the world, I spend my time in prayer and Bible study without food, has been a time of wonderful spiritual enrichment. Now, maybe I have contradicted just what our Savior said. Maybe I should spend my time in fasting and never let you know. Because that's what he says, isn't it? And maybe I shouldn't even mention. But I wonder how I could get others to join me, unless I would suggest that this is a convenient time. You see, I think that's one reason that we have the Lord's Day. Now, maybe with J.C. Penney and Sears, Roebuck and Company decided to open on the Lord's Day, they would take issue with what I have to say. Certainly Britling's and Morrison's would. But why don't we in the 20th century fast as they did even in the 19th century? Or is it part of the general decline of God's people and the indifference to God's directives? I don't know. Or when thou prayest, Jesus said. Now, of course, it's obvious what he says is not to preclude family prayer. It's not to preclude public prayer. Otherwise, God's people could never pray together. And I'm sure the giving of alms is not to exclude our reporting it on the income tax. I don't think this admonition of Jesus would preclude our setting down how much we contributed to religious and charitable enterprises in order that we wouldn't have to include that in our taxable income. But I think Jesus is very clear in what he's driving at. And I think it's very clear by the repetition of a certain statement he makes. The first time, it chills my spine to read it. But when I read it the second time and the third time, I find it a very dreadful statement. When thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And when he speaks of the hypocrites praying in the churches and on the street corners, he says, they have their reward. And he speaks of those that disfigure their faces in order that men may see that they're fasting. He adds the statement, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Isn't it as plain as can be what Jesus is getting at? And that's the motive that drives a person to these three religious exercises. And if we put our place in the historical situation, I think we'll understand a little better what Jesus was doing. He was calling those hypocrites who were known to be the leaders of the synagogue society. The oppressed people of God were suffering under Roman rule and under the jealousies of Herodian rule. And as the house of Herod strived to get a little bit more leeway in exercising their rule, the Romans avenge themselves on them. And the people of God were caught between the two. And Jesus, instead of comforting those people, instead of weeping for them, instead of sympathizing with them, cuts right at the very leaders of the people. There were those who claimed to be righteous before God, who would employ a trumpeter to call attention to the fact that he now was going to contribute alms. He was going to make a gift to the poor. Or in the synagogue, he was going to put his check in the offering plate. There were those who advertised the fact that they rejoiced to pray. I don't think there's anybody in this congregation that can be subject to this criticism. It can hardly get enough people to pray at prayer meetings. But there were those who took every opportunity to demonstrate their piety by standing in prayer. And then those who fast. There are those who today advertise they're giving it up for Lent. And they'll let you know it. Those who fast have to advertise that they're exercising their godliness in this particular fact. Someone will say to me after this sermon, he said, you've already admitted that there are some that are not guilty of these things. Why that sermon? Oh, it's been said to me many times before. Now I will say this first, that in the consciousness of my heart, because I have to stand in public and speak in public, there is this tremendous temptation to impress you with my erudition. How wise I am. How eloquent I am. What a fantastic memory I have. It's always with me. It never leaves me. And beloved, this sort of thing never leaves any people. It hounds us to be seen of men. And we hear what Jesus says. Verily, they have their reward. And it chews my blood. We're going to build a sanctuary. Thank God for the generosity that has been exhibited in this congregation. I'll boast of it. The fact that the budget has been oversubscribed $30,000 and $40,000, I'll boast of it. But you see, it's just for that reason that I'm frightened. Not because of anything I've seen, but because I know people that we would turn this building of a place of prayer into a monument to our generosity, into a monument for our aesthetic tastes, to a monument to our desires. Not too long ago, an architect complained that he would have gotten the first prize in the year's prize for architects, except a certain feature of the building that was built, and he had to take second prize. I don't know enough about architecture or architects to even consider who we should employ to draw plants. But I pray, God, that whoever is selected by this congregation, that God in His judgment will give him some fear, some understanding of what's involved in the worship of the people of God. That's what we're building it for, isn't it? To worship God. Well, shouldn't it be attractive? Shouldn't we build a building that would please the senses of every passerby? Of course. The apostle loves to praise his little children. And I thank God for you. And I tell everybody I know what a wonderful, wonderful time I've had here in this my ministry. But you see, it's because I have been enabled to give my full time and my full efforts to telling you what the Bible has to say. And the unpleasant details that have arisen simply because someone said, I want it this way. Well, then you see, we have a difference of taste. We have a difference of opinion. We have a difference of desire. And when the Bible is explicit, fine, that's easy. But when the Bible isn't explicit, then we must be the more careful to see to it. And what Jesus was talking about in this passage is applied in our lives because, beloved, what I want doesn't amount to a snap of your fingers in God's plans and purposes. I'm a servant of Christ. I don't tell Christ what I want. And Jesus is saying we're not to do anything, even the most holy of our religious exercises, in order that men may say how nice you are. Is it possible to build a beautiful building without this in mind? Well, of course it is. Take a look at the glory of God's handiwork. When I survey the sky above, or the world around me, what do I see? Beauty everywhere. But why shouldn't the place where God's people come together to pray be the very best that an artistic temperament can produce? You see, here I believe the Puritans went a step too far. They felt, and they felt so very keenly, this tremendous appeal to the praise of men. They were conscious of the fact that John tells us that many turned away from Jesus and would not follow him because they loved the praise of men rather than the praise of God. And so instead of building a place that would be beautiful, that would have the artistic expression of those gifts that God has given us, they built boxes as plain as they could possibly make them. And I think they went too far. But I glory in what they were driving at. Their interest was the praise of their Heavenly Father. Their interest was in turning away from all the distractions of this life that they might live in good conscience the way God has told them to. But there's another feature to this. After threatening? Is that it? But is that what Jesus did? Certainly this statement is ironical. They have their reward. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. Beloved, isn't it worth the reward which God has given us? The artistic world, the world of education, has tried to say, learning for learning's sake, beauty for beauty's sake. That's not the Bible's presentation at all. The Bible says beauty for God's sake, learning for God's sake, and God has promised to reward. Even a cup of cold water given in the name of a disciple shall in no wise lose its reward. That's what Jesus said. And I'm thinking of a young couple that together feel that God would have them to go to the mission field. A boy and a girl like your son and your daughter, ordinary people, who turn their backs on all the comforts of 20th century America, who leave the love of loved ones that they feel probably more acutely because they're alive to the author of life. They're more sensitive. The little girl goes out there without knowing where she'll find an obstetrician to take care of her before, during the time her baby comes. The man isn't quite sure that he'll be able to care for his wife, because many a missionary's wife has been abused before the very eyes of her husband. But in the terms of the apostle, the love of Christ constrains us, these two hand in hand, go like John and Betty Stamm did, to a tribe in China that had never heard of Jesus, were captured by the bandits, abused, and killed. Where's their reward? Did they do it for nothing? Did they offer their lives without any hope of return? Thank God we believe something else. We believe, as it did Jesus, stand at the stoning of the martyr Stephen, that Jesus in a figure would stand when the angels carried the souls of John and Betty Stamm to the glory of his Father's house. That's praise. That's the kind of praise that will last through eternity. Can we do anything less? Are our motives because we don't feel that God has called us to a foreign field, are our motives to be any less than theirs? Are we to say, I want my child to be a missionary, but don't expect me to make the sacrifices that I want him to make? No, beloved, God has promised he'll reward us. Will you give up that reward? Take heed that ye do not your righteousness before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father in heaven. Let's stand as we pray. Our blessed Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is that Thou hast been pleased to include us among the children of Thy love. How wonderful it is that the gospel has been perpetuated, that we might read and understand for ourselves that Jesus is mighty to save. How wonderful it is that we have the consciousness given to us by Thy Spirit of Thy willingness to bless, Thy carefulness to reward, so grant that we may be driven with a passion to seek the praise of our Heavenly Father. And we ask it in Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.